high, Saturday 84. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Hey, welcome into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Chase, Reed, behind the glass. Guys, hope you guys are ready, man. We got a fun one today. We got Brandon Clear joining us at 1130, like he does on Thursdays. We're going to chop it up with him, talk a number of things. Definitely some football talk as we're quickly approaching A-Day, guys. We're only a couple short days away, right? Saturday, 1 p.m. is when it kicks off. And again, it will not be televised. Just a reminder, because I know a lot of people still are wondering that question. I know we've talked about it, a number of times on the show, but unfortunately, will not be televised. So you will have to attend it to see it. But I'm sure there's going to be somebody or something going on where you can stream some things, man. I'm still trying to figure out. I need to shoot some texts over there and see, hey, if we set up a little camera, can we stream on the Miller's Edge, man? Maybe we can hire Reed or somebody to stand behind a camera. So I don't even know how that would work, but I don't know. We'll try to figure something out. I generally want you guys that aren't, you know, able to attend it to be able to see it, because I know that's important. Now, of course, them not streaming it will help us too when we're giving a review, because people are going to want to hear it. But it's not about that, man. I want you guys to be able to watch it. Maybe we can try to come up with something to help you guys out. I won't personally be recording it, but maybe we can figure something out. I don't know. That said, I'm excited, looking forward to it, and definitely will be planning on being there and diving into the action. Hopefully get to run into a number of y'all as I'm viewing our setup behind here on the stream. And allegedly we can now throw polls up, right? So maybe we'll try to do that. Let's see. We can start with who's going to be at A-Day. Let's throw a poll up on here. I don't know how this is going to work, where it's going to go, or what it's going to do. But all right, are you going to be at A-Day? Yes or no? We'll throw that poll up down on the screen. I don't know if you guys can see that on YouTube, where we do stream live every day at the Miller's Edge YouTube channel, at the Miller's Edge on X, and of course on Tide 100.9's Facebook page. But I don't know, we got a little widget in the corner with a poll of who's going to be at A-Day. We'll see how that works out. That said, if you guys do see the stream title, we'll try to stick to it as good as possible today. I will say this. there's some interesting stuff I want to dive into today. Now, you guys know, when it comes to former players making comments and stuff, I'm always... It might seem like I'm being ultra defensive, but it's not even that. It's just, you know, I just take things for what they are, and I try to look at it from a neutral perspective and not just a, hey, man, like, as much as I love Alabama, he must be saying this in a negative context. No, I try to listen to it, but sounds like we got another former guy that also mentioned Alabama, this time Earl Little, who also is at Ohio State, just like James Smith, just like Quay Rousseau, just like Caleb Downs was, right? He's entering the NFL draft. And just like also the other DB, we had another guy that transferred there, slipping my mind, the young man, is Cam Calhoun, yeah, who was a transfer from Utah the year before. That said, seems like Alabama's like is in everyone's mouth at this point in this day and age. Chase, Reed, I don't know what it is. Now, I will say this, because I did comment and responded. I responded yesterday on our X account to what Earl Little had to say. Again, nothing bad. Again, I don't take these things too serious. I take everything with a grain of salt. But it did leave me a little confused, guys, because what he was asked about and his answer to me just didn't necessarily, I don't know. It didn't really seem like it made a bunch of sense, just from my perspective and my experience, which again, I'll be the first one to tell you. When these guys go out and say these things, or and when I say these things, they're answering questions. We got to start there. Because I know a lot of people are like, man, why are all these guys mentioning Alabama? Why can't people stop talking about Alabama? I get it. It seems like that. However, to be fair, they are being asked questions about Alabama. It's not necessarily these guys are going on Twitter or going on Instagram Live and name dropping Alabama, just throwing all these things out there because they're searching for attention. In fact, they're really just sitting at a podium, sitting in front of a microphone, and media members are asking them these questions. And it's not just them. Really, any guy that has transferred is going to be asked, why did you decide to transfer here? Not even so much, you know, what about this with your old school? The question, at least the typical question is, What made you transfer here? And that naturally kind of leads back to their prior stop. For example, we heard from the tackle, right? Former Colorado tackle, Jordan Steen, that ended up at LSU. They asked him about, you know, his journey to LSU and talked about some, you know, the transformations that he's seen since working in the weight room. I heard that, and I personally didn't think it was him maybe taking a shot at Colorado. Maybe he's just a little bit more impressed with what he's seen at LSU, and which would make sense. Like, listen, all schools aren't created equal. The LSUs, the Alabamas of the world, you name it, the Georgias, the Oregons, the Ohio States, the resources that those schools can offer, I mean, they're going to be better. It's going to be an upgrade from other spots. I mean, just talking with some of my friends that are in the coaching business, they'll be the first ones to tell you. I mean, a place like Alabama is going to do it at an S-tier level. I mean, you know, way above probably the rest of college football, unless you're some of those other teams that I mentioned. That said, normally don't really overthink what a lot of guys say, but what Earl Little said yesterday kind of had me scratching my head just because it didn't really add up. So I want to dive into that conversation. Why are all these former guys talking about Alabama? And I'll be honest, the title and the thumbnail is probably a little clickbaity because I don't necessarily think it's people going out and attacking Alabama intentionally, so to speak. But I do want to talk about some of the comments that some of these former players have made and kind of address some of them and really just give my thoughts on it and then hopefully get y'all's thoughts on it as well. Because it clearly triggers a reaction out of a lot of people, guys. Anytime a former player is, you know, on the record saying something about Alabama, it gets a pretty big reaction. So I'm curious. I know you guys tweet about it. Maybe you guys want to talk about it. 205-342-9904 is the number. If you guys are hanging out with us on our streams, again, on YouTube or X or on Facebook on Tide 100.9's Facebook page, you can drop your questions, comments, and concerns right here in the chat. We'll discuss it as well. Not only do we have Brandon Clear coming up at 11:30, but we also will be joined by my guy, Gray Robertson, at the top of the hour. A little bit of an audible. Normally we have Adam from Lamper the Law, Education and Advocacy joining us on Thursdays. Called an audible. Adam had some travel plans, so he's going to join us tomorrow ahead of A-Day, which will be great. We'll get his updates and the latest on some of the stuff with the Holloway situation, also with the executive order. I don't think we've gotten to really speak to Adam outside of just in the chat, so I'm looking forward to that. We'll do that tomorrow, but today we'll be joined by Gray Robertson, getting an update on a number of things going on, not just football-related, but also with, I guess, baseball, softball, two sports that are crushing it right now here at Alabama, so we definitely want to get the updates. Gray does a phenomenal job calling those games for them. Matter of fact, he was joined by Ryan Coleman-Williams in the broadcast booth at one of the softball games last weekend when they had their series against Texas. They took that series after dropping the first game 9-1, so we got to get the latest from Gray Robertson, and we will do that all at the top of the hour. Quick reminder real quick about our friends over at R&R Cigars. If you guys are like my dad, you like a nice stick, you like to kick back, relax, you enjoy sports, looking for a place to go watch these things, I'd imagine if you're in town, you're going to be at A-Day, but just say, you know, you just want a place to go hang out before or after. Check out R&R Cigars, best humidor in the Southeast. If you like the pipe like my dad, they got all that good stuff for you right there as well, plus over 160 bourbons for you guys to try. Drink responsibly, please. But they got a plethora of drinks. They got a bunch of drinks that are specialties there that you got to go check out at R&R. So make sure you guys do that. And if you're not local, don't worry about it. Head on to their website, rnrcigars.com, and use that code MillersEdge. They'll get you 20% off. Plus, if your order qualifies, well, you get free shipping too. So some really good deals going on over at R&R Cigars. Again, 2703 Gary Fitz Street here in Tuscaloosa. I know a lot of people will be coming into town for A-Day. Make sure you guys go check out the mansion at R&R, man. It's a phenomenal place. Great environment. Again, really cool vibe. You can't miss a big white mansion on the corner. Again, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar providers of Alabama football since 2014. All right, let's do this. Let's go ahead and hit a timeout. We come back. We'll dive into this conversation head first. All these former guys talking about Alabama, man. What is it about? Well, we'll tell you what it's about. We'll hear from Earl Little Jr., former Alabama plus former Florida State safety, who is now currently at Ohio State. He had some words specifically about the weight room. We'll talk about that. We'll hear from it. We'll listen to it. We'll respond to it when we come back. And we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed sponsored jobs.
Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hey, we got another good little conversation going right now. Yesterday, man, we were supposed to give like a recap on what we've seen this spring, which we'll go ahead and do that today. We'll get into it in a minute, probably when we talk with Brandon Clear here in a few short moments, which I need to send him a stream link, man. I think he's going to join us on the stream unless he backs out. But somebody in the chat made a good point. They asked about A-Day. Maybe it's not going to be televised, but could it potentially be broadcasted via radio, which We in fact used to do that, right? Before they started changing some things, we did in fact used to broadcast, you know, via radio A-Day, right? I'd work the sideline like I did during the season. Eli would be up in the booth. Trying to think who was at the time. I guess John Parker Wilson maybe, or Tyler. I think Tyler Watts was doing it that last year. But anyway, really good question. Personally, I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't have a definitive. I could be wrong. They could want to do a quote-unquote test run for the broadcast team like we used to do. I'm not too sure on that, so maybe we'll look into it. But if it's not televised, I just don't think that's going to be the case. But Reed, I believe, who's working the boards, I think he said he's checking on it, and we'll see. So really good question. Man, let me give you some credit because I don't remember who asked it. Was it Mark? Mark in the chat asked that. Will it be a radio broadcast? We'll work on getting that answer for you. Maybe so. If so, I think that'd be really cool for the folks that can't attend. But just know, I mean, if you guys have YouTube or any of these social media platforms, there's going to be somebody, I would imagine, streaming it in some capacity. At least I would hope. And hopefully you guys can take advantage of that. But best believe, if you don't make A-Day, I promise I will do my best to try to get a quick video summary up as soon as possible, even if it's kind of like I did last weekend. It's a little generic thing, but the good news about A-Day is with it being public, I don't have to feel like I'm, you know, tiptoeing out of respect of the staff or the football team, right? I mean, A-Day is a public event, so we can really dive into, hey, this guy had this performance. You know, he threw this touchdown to this guy. It doesn't feel so sensitive. So just know we will get you guys up to speed, hopefully right after A-Day finishes. But if not, you know, Monday show, we will definitely dive into it. Not only myself, we'll do it with Coach DeBoer, because head coach Kalen DeBoer will be joining us Monday, this upcoming Monday following A-Day, right here on the Miller's Edge, live at noon. And so I'll break down A-Day for that first hour, and then we'll bring on Coach DeBoer at the top of the hour and let him give his thoughts and break it down as well. So we'll definitely take care of that. In regards to kind of what we're going to dive into, at least early on in the show, all these people talking about Alabama. First, you had the comments from James Smith. We'll circle back to that here in a minute, which, again, just to recap on that, personally, I didn't take what James Smith had said, you know, overly personal, right? Just to recap, the little summary was he said he felt similar to, you know, what he felt when he first got to Alabama under Coach Saban, you know, the intensity that they practiced with, the speed of it, everything. He used the word intentional, right? That seemed like a big one. You know, everything they do just has purpose, right? And so to me, I took it as, listen, it was more so he really was you know, impressed with what he's seen at Ohio State, what they're doing up there. I didn't really have too much of a problem with it. It was what it was. That's his experience. I've never played at Ohio State. I've never been there, let alone practice. I don't even know many people on their staff. I can't speak on it, but if that's his experience, I'll take his word for it. But I know some people didn't really like it. Well, fast forward, his teammate, who is also a former Alabama player, however, he had a quick pit stop at Florida State, which he did some good things, Earl Little, the defensive back we're talking about. Well, he was asked to compare Alabama to Ohio State. And listen, these reporters know what they're doing. They knew the comments from James Smith caught a lot of attention, you know, took social media by storm. Best believe this guy, whoever asked him the question, knew what they were doing, and that's what they wanted to do. So this is Earl Little Jr. responding to that question. I'll let you guys hear, then we're going to discuss it.
What's different about Ohio State compared to Alabama and Florida? I'm sure there are a lot of similarities. What are some differences?
Just the level of competition day in and day out. Like at Alabama, we didn't compete in the weight room how we do here. So it was like literally with everything you're doing at Ohio State, you're going to compete and you have to be your best every single day.
Okay, so that was Earl Little Jr. in his comments regarding the differences between Alabama and Ohio State. Again, more than likely, the reporter that asked that question was trying to piggyback off of what James Smith was talking about, or what was when he was asked about a similar deal. So here's the deal. And speaking of this, it looks like HaHa Clint Dix, who is a former Alabama safety as well, now works with player development here on staff. He just responded to the tweet. Matter of fact, we'll just read his since it's 3 minutes ago. HaHa responded and said, "This has to be AI. No way he said that. Earl is 3 years removed from this organization. Don't believe this BS." Exclamation points, elephant emoji, and a heart emoji. So, and quick update real quick before I forget this. Reed announced that we will, in fact, be streaming A-Day on Tide and the Bear. So it will be streamed via radio. So they will be doing, quote unquote, a mock broadcast. So there you guys go. If you guys want to listen, won't be able to watch it, at least via television, but they will be streaming it, which is good. Because, I mean, I'm imagining, you know, Tyler Watts and the broadcast team, Chris Stewart, they'll be calling it. And you guys can kind of have that same feel as if, you know, a regular game is being played in Bryant Denny Stadium. So thank you so much, Reed, for that update. All right, back to this whole Earl Little thing. So HaHa responded. He said, "Hey, it has to be AI. No way he said that. 3 years removed from this organization. Don't believe this BS." Here are my thoughts, right? And I'll go ahead and pull up the tweet that I put out. A little lengthy, so I'll just read it for you guys. But this is why the whole deal with Earl kind of confused me. Because initially, you know, if you just heard him say, like, he just said, "Oh, you know, the competition here, especially in the weight room," like, he immediately jumped to the weight room, which kind of threw me off. And here's why. This is my tweet. I'll read it now, expand in a second. "This one is confusing. Not sure if he's referring to the competition analytically or just the spirit of competition, but I must say Coach Ballou and his staff do a great job at monitoring and tracking numbers in the weight room, utilizing technology to measure various data that directly encourages competition in far more areas than just the traditional max weight being used. They do this with the help of technology such as cameras and monitors at each platform, immediately sharing data and even past measurements. They also plaster results all over the weight room monitors in regards to the training itself. I've always been impressed with the newer dynamics that they've adopted under Blue because it appears to be even more applicable to what is being done on the field. Can't touch much on the competitive environment aspect as I had Coach Cochran as my strength coach while I was in college. But from the time I've spent in the weight room as of recent, it's appeared to have that competitive aspect." So to break all that down, listen, I didn't have Coach Ballou when I was here. I had Coach Cochran. However, when Coach Ballou took over, you know, I was still in the league and I used to come back and train all the time. He was super cool about letting us continue to use the weight room. Always been awesome, right? Ever since he got here. But in terms of like the stuff that they do, the reason I was so confused is like, I'm going to call spade a spade. The things that they've adopted under Coach Ballou, I mean, I know people always have comments about the strength staff or like what's being done, whether it's injury related or the guys don't seem as tough. I'm just going to tell you guys straight up, the way they work out now is much more, probably much more effective, right, than what we used to do with Coach Cochran. Now, if you want to get into the whole spirit side of things, I mean, Coach Cochran being the heartbeat and really having influence on us as a football team, really driving home and instilling us that mentality of, you know, being dogs, that fourth quarter mentality, I got you. I'm with you on that. I'm not saying they don't do that as of now. But I do understand Coach Cochran was like, I mean, one of very few people that just, I mean, literally seemed like he was perfect for that. Anyway, but in terms of what they do, man, they have so many things nowadays that we didn't have. Like, of course, we had that beautiful weight room and we had platforms all throughout the weight room. Like, the weight room was state of the art before Coach Ballou got there. But he took that state of the art weight room and made it even more, I mean, special, even more advanced. I mean, what they have right now, guys, is way beyond anything that we used to do. We used to focus on traditional Olympic lifts, which is all great. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'll be the first one to tell you, like, the power cleans, heavy squats, the bench, split jerks, all that stuff. All the things we used to do, you know, was great and really good work. But one could argue, I don't even think it's an argument. The advancement that I've seen in that weight room from the monitors that they have that track everything, like bar speed, that's one of the measurements I'm talking about here. I mean, all of that is recorded, right? So every time these guys go work out at a platform, they basically like log in and they see their data. So it shows them their bar speed from the last time they were doing this exercise. It shows you what you're expected to hit. Like, I mean, like, this thing is like so technologically advanced, it's not even funny. And I know he's talking about competition, but what I'm getting at is, I don't see how you don't go in there and you're not competing when everything is being measured. At the end of the day, competition is basically a measurement, right? About who can outdo another. And if you're measuring every little detail and aspect, even besides just like the max weight being used, I just find that hard to believe. Not to mention, like, every time I'm up there in the weight room, like, I like to go work out in that weight room, so I see it all the time. Like, there's, you know, monitors throughout, there's TVs throughout that they'll plaster guys' top velocities on the screen, guys, you know, max bar speed, max bench, max. I mean, like, I feel like there's measurements all over the place. So what I'm getting at is, like, in my opinion, like, from that side of things, if you're talking about competition, I feel like they do a good job. Not to mention, like, I've been in there while those guys are working out. I go in the upstairs part, do some cardio or whatever. They're getting their, you know, team lifts in. To me, it looks pretty competitive. So that's just me speaking on my experience seeing these guys work, right? Because, again, I didn't have Coach Ballou as a strength coach. I'm not in there every single week working out with those guys, so I'm not going to act like I know 100%. But from my experience, which, I mean, I would say is worth something, I've seen those guys work out a lot. It feels pretty competitive, and I know that they implement a number of things that should be driving competition, i.e. the, you know, all the numbers that are posted all throughout, not just on the big monitors, but also on every individual platform that you're literally competing to beat, right? And you don't work with just one person. You're normally like in pairs or a group. So I would imagine as you're on a platform, just like we used to do, we didn't have the technology, but while we were on a platform working together, we would be, you know, by group. So if you're an outside backer, it'd be me, Jamie Mosley, maybe Rashawn Evans. It'd be like groups of three, four, whatever. And we're all working together. And granted, like, we didn't have the screens right there, but we used to compete. So I feel like now, even more than ever with that technology, it would naturally, you know, promote competition. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Now, with all that being said, I'm not saying the guy's necessarily lying about what he's saying. He might genuinely feel that way. Again, I've never been to Ohio State. I can't speak on how they work out, how they practice. I don't know, and I'm not going to act like I do. I will say, from the outside looking in, they have a damn good program. Just like I made the comments about, you know, James Smith's, you know, comments when he said they practice fast, it's physical, it's intentional. I mean, to me, when you see the success that they've had at a program like Ohio State, when you see the draft picks that they've produced, the number of talent, I mean, just look at the linebackers and these guys that they're putting out in the league this year. Defense alone, the two linebackers, Caleb Downs, I mean, these are like grown men. These are like real deal prospects. So I imagine they're doing something right there. So I'm not going to knock these guys for what they're saying, because I at least give them a chance to speak on their experience. But this one has felt a little bit different, right? Like when I heard James, I know people took it. I really didn't think James. I thought what James said was, for the most part, pretty mature sounding. Him just saying, you know, it just feels intentional. It feels like it had, that's his experience. That's cool. But this, even if you hear how, like, Earl said it with this tone, it kind of just sounded like, oh, at Alabama, no, we're way more competitive here. It sounded like that. I don't think he worded it like that, but that's how it sounded. And I'm just going to be straight up with you, and I'll hit this break because we got Brandon Clear coming up. I kind of remember how his whole situation went. And I know him and his family, they were a little upset when he transferred. I know he left when Coach Saban left, but it wasn't just, oh, Coach Saban left. And I'm not doing this because I see other people that they jump on podcasts and they start hating on guys just for leaving. This is not that. I'm just telling you from what I know, because I remember his situation. He probably they didn't see. How do I explain this without making it sound bad? The staff wasn't as high on him maybe as like his folks or even himself would have been. They kind of felt like he was a little bit of a tweener in terms of like where he would be playing at in that secondary. And it naturally ended up working out where he transferred. So personally, I'm not saying he's coming from a personal place, but I would not be shocked if he was just being honest. Because I remember the whole situation with him transferring. And I can imagine a guy like that. Not saying he was pushed out, but just he probably wasn't in line to play quick. Could be a little bit of a, bad taste in his mouth. I mean, just look at how he played us last year when, again, he had a great game against us, but I mean, it definitely was personal for the dude. All right, we got to hit this timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. We got Brandon Clear coming up right here, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian.
ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Stay locked in, Tide fans.
This is Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC,
the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're talking about the latest comments, right, from another former Alabama player with, I guess, quite some interesting remarks regarding the program now that they're at their new spot. And to be clear, it's in just about Alabama. I feel like every guy that's transferred gets these questions, right? How does it compare to your former school? This one's a little bit interesting because Earl did transfer from Florida State to Ohio State. You know, he was at Alabama briefly. I don't know if it was, I'm assuming probably just 1 year. I think he was there as a freshman. And again, let me reiterate, or not reiterate, but let me clarify kind of what I was saying. I don't want to come off like saying like, oh, Alabama didn't want Earl. I'm not saying that. But I remember talking with folks in the building. And I just remember that, you know, I think him and didn't his dad go on Twitter and post like a lot of highlights from practice and stuff? Personally, I think what I picked up was maybe the staff didn't see him in that same light, maybe as him or his folks had saw. And so I could see him maybe having some type of, you know, feelings towards Alabama, which I don't even think this is the worst thing someone said, but it's just maybe, I don't know. And I already gave my whole explanation on the whole weight room stuff. So, but I know, I think Justin commented on something like that. We got Brandon Clear that just jumped on here. So we'll have him chime in on it as well. I want to read what Justin said. He said, maybe I'm too old school. I still feel the traditional lifts produce better results on the field. Physicality was different. All the technology is great, but does it translate to the field? Believe it or not, it actually translates better to the field, in my opinion. And I'll elaborate on that in a minute. Now, again, if you're talking about the strength coach and his influence on a football team, I'll get Brandon to speak on that. I mean, strength coaches spend more time with the players than the actual coaches do. So that piece of it is key. It's critical. Like whoever is on your strength staff, they're basically like the heartbeat of the football team. They are the culture of the football team. Again, I'm not up. I know Coach Blue very well. I know his staff very well. I mean, I'm up there a lot, but I'm not there every single day. And I'll be the first one to tell you, Coach Cochran was without a doubt one of the best, period, when it came to being the life of the team, right? Like he embodied everything that we were, you know, supposed to be having instilled in us on a day-to-day basis. The fourth quarter program, the toughness, the grit, you know, never stopping, you know, always putting your foot on somebody's throat, the physicality, like all of that. But if you're talking about specifically what these guys are doing in the weight room from a physical aspect, I'm telling you from, I've done both. I've worked out with these guys and like the new staff and the stuff that they do. And I did the traditional lifts. I'm with you, Justin. I'm an old school guy myself. But without a doubt, the updates and the technology that they have, whether it's the 1080 sprint system or whatever it's called that helps with speed and all that stuff and the bar speed and the complex lifts that are, you know, multi-layered, I'm not gonna lie to you, what they're doing is probably a lot more sports specific than some of those traditional lifts that we do. Just my opinion after, you know, taking part in both of them. Let's go to our, I would say the phone lines, but we're going to the streams, man. We got our guy, former Clemson wide receiver. He's rocking the shirt right here, man. And we're gonna let it slide a little bit. I guess my background's a little purplish too, so I'll get some weird vibes, man. We got Brandon Clear on the stream, man. Brandon, welcome in, brother.
Hey, what's up, Miller's Edge family? Hey, man, I had to rep a little bit. I couldn't just brace myself by popping on and claiming I went to Bama. I didn't know Clemson. I'm a Bama fan, man. So I want to be as genuine as possible.
Yeah, well, genuine you are, but boy, you're going to raise some questions. Or you're going to, some eyebrows are going to be raised with that shirt, man. He got the orange, the purple on the, oh, man. You know what, man? Because I like
it. Man.
It's cool, man. That's true. That's true. Listen, but you're right. You put in blood, sweat, and tears there, man. So there ain't no hiding it. Hey, Brandon, let me ask this real quick because I want to get your thoughts on this. Did you have a chance to hear Earl Little in his comments comparing? What were your takeaways from that when you heard Earl make those comments? Did you think it was negative? Did you think he was being honest? Did you think there's a little bit of saltiness in there? What'd you think?
So I thought it was a bit of saltiness. And So I'm a big proponent, man. When you move on, don't crap on the place you left. You might have opinions and you might have those shared feelings inside. But when you get out in the public, you just do your best to make sure that you're not coming across as though you're just burning bridges. Yep. And so Earl Little, my question is, why are you talking about Bama? You just at Florida State. Talk about how competitive Florida State was. Y'all had a losing record. You were there. You were one of the leaders. So clearly, whatever you were doing over there didn't translate. So your experience at Bama, you know, Coach Saban was there. This new staff wasn't. And so, you know, people don't do their research and they just associate that he may have been there during the Kalen DeBoer era. And, you know, Coach Ballou wasn't doing what he needed to do to get them competitive and ready to go. And, you know, Coach Cochran, based off of the documentaries I've seen, man, he was an intense guy. My strength and conditioning coach, man, it was Joey Batson. Just a great dude, man. And, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears that we shed inside the locker room and the weight room, man, out on the field, you know, he was one of those dedicated resources that got us going. So when we got into the summertime, man, and really had to do the hard work to get to fall camp, you know, he and his staff were top notch. And, you know, again, Bama does something very similar. So, you know, hearing some of these guys that get over at Ohio State and they have this opinion and all those things, I just feel as though they want to make sure they're making a good impression on their current place. They want to make sure they're, you know, up in the ante of saying, like, hey, I've come to some place that now it's different. You know, we're championship bred and all the same tone. But, you know, a couple of years ago when you were at Bama, there's a reason why you came to Bama. It was a reason why you wanted to get on the field at Bama. You wanted to compete. And you left because you wanted to seek another opportunity and you didn't want to necessarily stick around with the new staff coming in. But in reality, it's, again, you want to go somewhere where you were going to be, you know, dedicated spot to start, right? And so, you know, I could easily undermine his ability to compete because he didn't want to stick it out. But I could also say he wanted to play for Coach Saban and wanted to be coached by Saban, so he left. So that's where it just gets tricky, man. I think guys can have opinions. I think there's a better way to do it to where you're not just, you know, crapping on the place you just left. And so, you know, that looks bad on, you know, Coach Blue, man. I'm just like, why would you have those relationships there. Don't do that. Just say, yeah. Hey, it's different. I'm excited about the opportunity. You know, Ohio State does things at a top notch, but so did, you know, the other places I played at. It's just different. And I think we're going to have a championship medal to do some big things coming up this season. That's how you answer the question.
Yeah, no, and you're 100% right. And it leads me to just believe that the media training is a lot different nowadays because – personally, when I was here at Alabama, now I know I do radio and stuff now, but I'm just telling you right now, I hated speaking to the media. I used to get, you know, nervous about it. It wasn't like comfortable for me. I just wanted to kind of, you know, just stick to myself. I didn't want to be in the spotlight. I just wanted just to grind, do my thing. But it was a part of what we had to do as, you know, members of this football team, especially as I got older, ended up being a leader on the team. But I always know every time we used to go up there in that office before we would be in front of the media, they kind of walk us through, hey, you know, this might be going on. You don't need to touch on all this. Just, you know, always remember, compliment your teammates. Always respect the opponent. Like, everything was very standard. Yeah. And I think they still do a good job of that here at Alabama. I mean, you can tell, I don't think we've had any of our guys or even any of the transfers that come here, you know, shedding light on their former program or saying anything too questionable. I mean, there's, I don't know, maybe somebody might say Grubb needs some training to not name starters so early. But outside of that, listen, I think it's fine. But I hear these other guys and they're falling for the bait, right? They're falling for the cheese, man. These reporters, again, like this guy. This guy knew the guy that asked earlier that question knew he transferred from Florida State. But because James Smith was asked a question about Alabama, which, to be fair, he transferred from Alabama, was a five-star recruit, was a key starter, key contributor. I know some people are going to argue the whole production thing. Listen, get over it. The dude was a good football player, production or not. He has a lot of potential, right? Didn't necessarily live all the way up to it here, but he's a good football player. Long story short, they asked Earl that question because they knew it would be able to get some clicks. And he completely fell for it, which I don't think he cared anyways. But you're 100% right in all those regards. I mean, it's weird that they keep bringing up the whole competitive nature. That's why I'm confused. I'm like, are you talking about from like an analytical perspective? Like, hey, man, we're really getting after it. Like, this guy's trying to beat this guy out on squat. I could have swore I just heard Kool-Aid, who they were saying Kool-Aid wasn't even the most competitive guy in the weight room, but because Caleb Downs came in there and he was competing, those guys were like, so I'm like, I mean, listen, to each his own. I mean, I guess everybody's experience is different, but definitely it's been interesting kind of hearing Alabama pop up time and time again, but it's nothing new, right? I mean, Alabama's name holds weight, and when people see it in the news, it typically probably gets a few more clicks, but anyway, I appreciate your insight on that, especially.
And I would tell the fans, I respect Caleb's stance. So right. That guy's measured. He's smart. You'll notice when he had hey, compare the Big Ten to the SEC, he kept it 100 and he's in the Big Ten. He said it's easy. let's not get it twisted. It's easy to be competitive when you know you're going to go outside and just start beating on all the competition. You don't have to worry going to Kentucky, right? They're Kentucky, whatever the version of it is, it's not the same. It might be Michigan State. That they know they have the more talent and they are going to get out coached and they're going to just go ahead and dominate week in and week out. This is reality, man. So, yeah, be careful who your resource and sources are of information. No offense to Mr. Little, man. You just left Florida State. I don't care what you think because you came from a losing program. You left a winning program, went to a losing program. Now you're back to winning. And you may forget how to win. So just keep it real, man. I'm not even trying to mess on the guy like that, but I'm just like, do your Googles.
Right. No, I mean, you're right, though. And I would say this, we're going to hit a break. We're stay on here because we're going to keep it going. Listen, if you go look at some of these numbers these guys are putting up, I mean, Daniel Hill just talked about putting 805 or whatever on 850, whatever it was, on his back as a running back. You know what I mean? Like, I played with a guy by the name of Jalen Hurts, who's as a quarterback, you know, having six plates on the bar or whatever he was doing. I mean, like, I'm just like, come on, man. Like, maybe things feel a little bit different, but to make it seem like, oh, Alabama doesn't compete in the weight room. Now, if you wanted to argue, like, during the season sometimes when we would have our in-season lifts, you know how this is. In-season lifts are way different than off-season lifts. Were there times we go in the weight room for in-season lifts and it didn't feel like that same competitive juice because we're trying to really just do some functional exercise to kind of get our bodies back? Maybe he's thinking about that. But any off-season lift that I've been a part of, that I've seen, even with Coach Ballou, them dudes get after it. So I don't know. Maybe it was a personal thing. Who knows? We got to hit this timeout. We come back. We're going to talk to Brandon a little bit more about some Alabama football, kind of what's been going on this spring, kind of recap some things ahead of A-Day. Final practice took place today before A-Day. And again, that is Saturday. We'll talk about that.
Tidwell Chiropractic, the only third-generation chiropractor with over 28 years experience in Tuscaloosa. Call Tidwell Chiropractic at 752-7503.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
We can help you with the protection that's right for you and the things you love most. Allstate. Are you in good hands? 248-0303.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
I bring joy wherever I go.
Quality gummy vitamins from Nature Made, the number one pharmacist-recommended vitamin and supplement brand, based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation,
across the United States,
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers,
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers,
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors,
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
WTVC, man, we just were laughing. If you guys caught the tail end of that, man, me and Brandon kind of reliving those conditioning days. We're talking about, you know, weight rooms and all this stuff. Brandon's experience at Clemson, man, it's all one and the same, man. When you play Division I football, hell, probably even, you know, other division stuff, but similar experience, man. You always got a few of them cats that are dragging the group behind, making everybody else have to do a little bit more. Dudes kind of faking things to kind of stretch out that break just a little bit, like that middle portion, man. We used to do the middle, and we'd do our 110s, and that's what made the 110 so hard. Because when I say middle, it would be all right, we're doing, you know, like basically back and forth between like 20 to 40 yards. We're doing like the karaoke, we're doing bounding, we're doing single leg hops, all that stuff. But it's kind of just back and forth, probably about 25 minutes. So by the time you finish that, you get a quick little 3-minute water break with squeeze. It's like these jugs with these little squirt handles, made to squirt in that handle. Next thing you know, whistle's blowing. Yup, it's on the line. It's time to go.
Afterlifting. Don't. You're lifting. They call this the warm up. You're like
no,
the warm up.
Man, and what was crazy was on Friday, so we ran first and then had heavy squat. So I'm not going to lie to you, it was the craziest system. Just like, bro, we just ran. Like Coach Cochran was like out of his mind. I'm like, we just did middle. We just ran stadiums. And then bust to the facility to go work out, and we're throwing plates on our back. I'm talking about like two rep max type deal. This ain't like, no, okay, reps of 10. No. Man, when I tell you Friday, boy, they would make sure we didn't have no energy to go to get into no nonsense on the weekend. I could just tell you that much. They had a plan and a rhyme for reason for everything. We're joined by Brandon Clear, former Clemson wide receiver. You see that shirt he's got on there, man. But we make it work. Now I'm just giving him a hard time. Brandon, man, we got a few minutes for you at the top of the hour break, but I got to ask you about spring ball, man. I know we've been talking about it over the course of the last few weeks, man. From everything that you've been seeing and hearing, I know there's been a lot of intel coming out, scrimmage number 2 this past weekend. Just what are some things that you're kind of, or so I guess maybe you're, how are you forming an opinion about this football team so far with what you heard, and kind of what do you want to see this Saturday with A-Day coming up?
Yeah, so I would say I'm hopeful. And one of the things, so again, you're not James Smith, man, he's talented, right? A lot of guys can have the opinion on him and his productivity and all those things, but I'm not going to get it twisted. He was a talented guy, twitchy, disruptive, and we are going to miss him. But what I have seen is the shift to having length. So even length at D tackle, length on the outside, they want long limb guys to really start getting into those passing lanes, but also being, again, more of the edge setters, and establishing the gaps. And so that's one of the things when you get bigger and you get somebody like a Terrence Green to come in, he's going to be a gap eater. And that's what right. they need. And so I'm excited to see what that looks like against our offensive line, because I have questions about the offensive line. You know, again, they already seem like they've got 3 names etched in stone. So everyone else is going to be rotating in and vying for the opportunities. Although Sanders is not going to be playing. I was hopeful that he'd be in for the spring. Him being at left guard, seeing how that works. So I want to see the O-line. I want to see what that looks like. I want to see how our defensive line, do we have twitchiness? Do we have guys that can create by themselves? I don't know. I don't know if we have it in droves. I think Pierre is probably the only one that can consistently get a pass rush without help, and help being blitzes coming from every which way. I think if you put him on one-on-one because of just his length and his ability to bend, he's going to be a consistent pass rusher. I just want to see what some of these younger guys, or some of these guys that necessarily didn't get an opportunity, how they look off the edge. And then also the South Carolina transfer. Again, I've heard promising things about him. I don't know what position is going to be best. And so I think it's early. They're going to be trying him at Bandit. They're going to be trying him at Wolf and all those things. But I don't know if he's going to be great in coverage. So is he almost a tweener? And so what does that look like? And then the other thing I really want to see, the running backs. I've heard a lot of things. I know that, you know, Kevin Riley is getting some, you know, he's getting kind of pushed to the side, even though he's been dominating, I heard, in the spring. So I want to see what that looks like. Is he him putting on size, is that going to help him? Is he going to be able to be, create and not have to wait for these holes to kind of set up? Like, what does that look like? Daniel Hill's gotten some good pub. And, you know, I'm disappointed we didn't get to see Carell. I know he's injured. And again, he's still able to put on size and do all the lifting and all those great things that happen for those early enrollees. But I was hopeful that he'd be able to get an opportunity to come in and make an impact. So good things to see, man. I'm excited, and I'm hoping that we get some good news coming out with the quarterbacks as well.
Probably going to be plenty of info and intel on that one. Everybody's going to have their eyes on that. I know Coach DeBoer has been asked plenty of questions regarding the quarterbacks, and he actually went back and kind of, you know, wanted to clear up some of his comments come out of scrimmage number 2 that, hey, you know, I mentioned they weren't as sharp as they've been, Wes, because they've been playing really good this spring. So fans will get a chance to see both of these quarterbacks in action Saturday, and I think that's going to be a big topic, and we'll talk about it with him on Monday as Coach DeBoer will be joining this show right here on the Miller's Edge. Brandon, appreciate you joining the screen. Yeah, exactly, man.
Congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it'll be fun, man. We'll chop it up with him, get his 8-8 thoughts, and then we'll, of course, chop it up with you next week as well and get your thoughts. Are you going to be able to slide down here by chance or no?
Nah, I won't be able to make it, man. Got two kids, bro.
Yeah, I understand.
Time is occupied now, but one of these days I'll make it over there.
Yeah, when you do, man, we'll have to chop it up, but I'll definitely make sure we give you all the intel and feedback that we have coming out of it, man. But I appreciate you as always, man. You have a great rest of your day, brother.
Are you too, bro. Appreciate you, man. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. I love it, man. We always get a Roll Tide out of Brandon, even though he's got his Clemson roots to him, man. But big thanks to him joining us every Thursday, man. Always does a phenomenal job giving us his insight on things going on. We got to hit this timeout. When we come back, we'll be joined by Gray Robertson right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfett.
First round of the Masters is underway in Augusta. At the top of the early leaderboard is Patrick Reed, 5-under through 9 holes. On his heels is Tommy Fleetwood, also through 9 holes, 4-under. Meanwhile, the other notables, you've got Akshay Bhatia at 2-under through 9. Kurt Kitayama has fallen to just 1-under through 12 after a hot start. Xander Schauffele, 1-under through 8 holes. Bryson DeChambeau, even. Rory McIlroy, even. Scottie Scheffler to tee off later in the day. In the NFL, Atlanta Falcons starting right tackle Caleb McGarry is retiring at age 31. He missed the entire 2025 season with a knee injury suffered on the final day of training camp. The Thunder on Wednesday night clinched the NBA's best record in a top seed with a 128-110 victory over the Clippers. It's the third straight season OKC has earned the Western Conference's number one seed.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partners.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
And not down again, it was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
We'll Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Big thanks to Brandon Clear, who we just got done chopping it up with here on the show. And now we go back to the phone lines. We go to the phone lines this time. We had Brandon on the stream. We've got Gray Robertson, my counterpart, over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, joining us now. Gray, welcome in, man. How's everything going, man?
It is all good, partner. It's good to chat with you. And, you know, it's a good time to be a sports fan. We got all the spring sports rocking and rolling. We have day one of the Masters happening today. So life is good, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I should have thought about that. You definitely are going to be tuned into the Masters, man. We got to keep up with that. Maybe we'll keep tabs on it here as well. But Greg, I got to ask you, you mentioned all these other sports going on. I do want to ask you a quick football question before we get into that, because I know you've been calling, you know, softball, baseball, both sports since the last time we talked to you. I mean, doing really good stuff. Softball had been doing great, but they're doing even better than baseball. They were struggling a bit last time we spoke, but now they're crushing it. We'll get to that here in a second. But I want to continue with football because we just were talking about this with Brandon. There's been a lot of things coming out this spring, Gray. What are some things that you've been kind of hearing regarding football? I know you're busy, but I know Coach DeBoer has been speaking, whether it's on Hey Coach, going on some shows. He'll be joining us on Monday at the top of the hour. We'll talk to him following A-Day. But there's been a lot of talk about the quarterback battle, man. I guess we can start there. What have you been hearing about that, and what are your overall thoughts? I mean, a lot of people kind of back and forth on that. You got the young, you know, guy in Keelan Russell who has just been turning heads left and right, but still – you know, trying to overcome some of those young guy mistakes that are typical. Then you got Austin Mack, who you can't forget about, who's also doing some really good things. And, you know, the quote-unquote veteran in the room, even though still not the oldest guy and not the most experienced. But kind of what's your overall takeaway so far through spring, Greg, with this quarterback battle? And where do you think it's headed right now?
Well, I'm going to be totally honest. I have been locked in spring. So all the stuff that I've been reading has kind of been stuff that's just come across my feed. However, we did have Ryan Coleman-Williams in the radio booth with us last weekend, which was a funny story, and I bet we talk about it in a little bit. And we got to ask him some about spring practice and the receiver room and some of the young guys. And he highlighted the secondary first and foremost when we asked him about who are the young guys that are sticking out, which I thought was really interesting. But also, you know, he's talking about the quarterback battle and how both guys are really starting to get comfortable. And I think, like, that's the point of spring practice when you've got a quarterback battle, is see who can not only understand the offense, but who can get comfortable and not just running the offense and, you know, making plays and, you know, figuring out how the system works, but also leading. I mean, when you're the quarterback, you're the quarterback. You are literally leading the offense. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things that Coach DeBoer and the staff is looking for in the spring, not even necessarily all execution based, but who's able to lead the guys, who's able to really kind of control things when moments get chaotic. And I still would think that Keelan Russell will be that guy, you know, in the future, but Austin Mack certainly has that experience that you were talking about because he's been in the system for such a long time. And even though I don't even think he's 20 years old yet, he's been in college for 3 years. So he's got that experience at that level.
He does. And let me ask you this, because you spent time calling some plays for some offenses at one point in time before you got the headset on. But tell me this, Gray, if you're Ryan Grubb or Kalen DeBoer in this situation, you got these two guys and you have a young, very talented player in Keelan Russell that you see the vision. He's everything that you thought you were getting when you brought him out of high school, but he's still kind of getting up to speed. He's still kind of getting acclimated to the college level, right? Learning how to read defenses, you know, getting a better command of this offense, right? There's a lot of, you know, install that he's got to download and process, right? It's a big offense, and it's not easy, right? I can tell you from speaking to a number of those offensive guys, I mean, this offense is a pretty complicated offense. Then you got, on the other hand, Austin Mack, who you've had for a number of years now in your system. He came to Washington early as a young player. I mean, you recruited him at a young age, and he's been sticking with you, and he's done some really good things, but he's got the young, talented, I guess, redshirt freshman on his heels. If they're neck and neck, which it feels like they're really kind of going back and forth in this whole thing, how would you make that decision, Gray? Would you go with the older guy who might have slight more command just because he's been in the system a little bit longer, or would you say, you know what, since they're so close, I'm going to go with the young guy who I feel like has more potential, might have a few more growing pains, but we feel like he can ultimately help us get a little bit further on where we want to go?
That is the million-dollar question. I think, honestly, I think you got to kind of read the room a little bit. You got to kind of see, like, one of the things that I always like to hear about a quarterback is, you know, he's won over the locker room. And that's something you can attest to. Like, when a guy wins over the locker room, that's your guy. I mean, that's your boy. Like, you will do anything for that guy. And multiple people can, quote unquote, win the locker room, but it's one guy who wins the locker room, more or less. And so I think you got to thread that needle a little bit and find the guy that, you know, the rest of the team truly believes in. And sometimes it is the guy who maybe isn't as flashy and isn't as dynamic, but is experienced and still very, very good. Or sometimes it's, you know, the young firecracker who will maybe throw two just heinous interceptions, but make three or four plays that make you wonder how a human being can be that athletic. And I don't think that there is an answer that I can give, honestly, because I'm not in the room. And that's something that the coaching staff and the rest of the guys on the team will have to help facilitate.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. You know, Coach DeBoer has spoke a lot about these guys recently, and he talked about that aspect you're describing, the whole leadership deal and how it's important for guys to step up and lead. And he mentioned that both these guys, they do it in a little bit, you know, different ways. So it's interesting to see how that piece is coming along. But he also mentioned when he was on Hey Coach with our guy Roger Hoover and Tyler Watts, he mentioned that, hey, you got two guys that are very competitive. Or he might have mentioned this when he was talking with Josh Pate. It was one of them. But basically what he said was these guys are all in on this battle, and they're very competitive. And one guy is ultimately going to be extremely, you know, shattered. Because the only one guy can win this job. We know that. But he also alluded to the fact that whoever does, in fact, win it needs to understand it's not just going to be like, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered when they do, in fact, name a starter. Almost opening the door to saying maybe, you know, we might softly name a starting quarterback, but we feel so good about both of these guys that there's probably going to be an extremely short leash, whether it's Austin Mack, this, you know, quote unquote veteran here, or the young phenom quarterback in Keelan Russell. So definitely going to be interesting, especially following A-Day when everybody gets to publicly see them for the first time since the spring has started. We're joined by Gray Robertson of the Crimson Tide Sports Network, also SEC Network. You mentioned Ryan Coleman Williams joining you guys in the booth over at softball. Give us a little update on softball, man. Number one ranked team. They've been crushing it. And tell me real quick, how did that come about? Did he just pop his head in there? Is he a big softball fan? How did Ryan Coleman Williams end up with a headset on and helping you guys call a game, it sounds like?
We CTSN hit us up and said, hey, Ryan Coleman Williams is going to join you in the second inning of game two of the Texas series. And I was like, all right, I hope he's ready for me to ask him some softball related questions, because I'm not about to let somebody just roll in and, you know, get comfortable. We're here to work. It's, you know, number one Texas in town. We're going to have a big old time. And I'll tell you what, first off, Ryan was awesome. And not only did he fill us in on a lot of football stuff, but we talked about a lot of, you know, the mindset of an athlete, especially as it pertains to that situation, Alabama taking on number one Texas. And then he also was present for the rally. I mean, game one against Texas could not have gone worse for Alabama. You had, you know, the big stage. I was on the TV side. We're super excited for the game because it was such a big moment, and well, 1-5 in the ESPN poll at the time. And Texas ace Tegan Caban came in and threw the best game I have ever seen from her life. And I was there last year at the World Series every game when she mowed through with an ERA of 0 to win the national championship. And I thought Thursday was the best that she had ever thrown. Everything was working. She was executing every pitch. And you leave that when Texas wins 9-1 going, uh-oh. I mean, you know, that this is a team that has done so much, but this was the first, kind of one of the huge big dogs in softball that Alabama had played. And they hadn't met the moment. And then game two happens. You go down 4-0. You're really wondering, all right, like, what? How in the world do you dig yourself out of this? And it was a magical moment where it just all clicked into place. I mean, you had two-out production, 10 runs with two outs in game two. You had the big six-run second inning. You had better at-bats, better execution of the plan. You had Vic Moten get the start, get chased because of walks, come back in, and as a freshman, show some of the best gumption that you'll ever see in the circle. Defense was outstanding. And then game three to follow it up after such an emotional night the night before. And I've covered a lot of teams over the years across the country who've had big emotional wins and come back the next day and been flat. And Alabama was the total opposite. And it really showed that this team belongs in the conversation. And I think a lot of us behind the scenes have been saying that, you know, for a while. We felt, even as long as 2 years ago, like, hey, 2026 is a year where Alabama can do some special things. And we saw a lot of signs of that this year. And I think it was confirmation for a lot of folks within the program that, you know, the first 30 games of the season showed us that this team is capable. But this past weekend against Texas showed the softball world that this team is capable. And that's why they're number one in the Softball America poll. They're getting more first place votes than Oklahoma and should probably be Texas Tech, but more first place votes than Oklahoma in the ESPN and the coaches poll. And they're right now the buzzy team in the sport ahead of a series at Auburn this weekend that is a little trappy, but also one that I think Alabama is very capable of winning, if not sweeping.
So it sounds like we got the Iron Bowl of softball this weekend. Definitely need to add that to the list of things that need to watch, man. Like you said, the Masters, of course, A-Day. Now we got the Iron Bowl of softball, man. Really eventful weekend we got here. If you're an Alabama fan, I want to ask you about another sport. And that is baseball. Quite the turnaround, Gray, since the last time we spoke. I think they dropped one to, I don't know if it was South Alabama or who it was, smaller school, I think a midweek game. People were, I guess the frustrations were growing. However, since then, man, they got into SEC playing and they have been pretty much lights out. I mean, they've been doing their thing and now they're a top 10 team themselves, Gray. What have you made out of this, I guess, rally from Alabama baseball?
I have been very impressed. And, you know, I was doing the Florida series on the radio side right after that South Alabama midweek loss. I'm putting together the numbers and getting the board done, putting my folder all in its place. I'm looking at all the stats. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, this is going to be a weekend that could be tough for the team based on how they'd played throughout the year. And I'll tell you what, they did an excellent job of enforcing their style on Florida and then doing it to Auburn and then doing it to Oklahoma. And it really was all kind of sparked by Tyler Fay's perfect game, his no-hitter, which was, you know, the first time one man had done that over nine innings in Alabama history since, I think, 5 months after Pearl Harbor. And that performance seemed to light the fire. And then Alabama did a great job of the rest of the Florida series and the Auburn series executing. You know, if they had first and third with one out, weren't afraid to lay down a squeeze bunt. Just get runners in as however you can. The power has been there. Brady Neal has been on one. Justin LeBron has been really consistent. Bryce Fowler at the top of the order has been fantastic. The defense has still been shaky, but it hasn't been hurtful. And they've just continued to find ways to win, gritty ways to win against a very, very tough stretch in SEC play. And now it's so fascinating because it's quick how it all turns around. I mean, going into the Florida series, you're looking at an Alabama team that's in the 40s in the RPI. And, you know, you wonder like, hey, they keep this current pace at large bid, maybe. Probably, but can't say for certain. Now we're talking about a team that is comfortably in, you know, mid-ish March in the hosting conversation, if not a top eight national seed conversation. And that's a credit to this coaching staff for not saying that some of those close early wins in the non-conference were good enough. I remember Coach Vaughn after I did the Alabama State performance at home where Alabama won 2-1, both runs were unearned that the Tide scored. You know, you win the game, but Coach Vaughn comes on post game and says, like, this is not this team. This is not how we have to play. We have to be better. Did all the right things. And the coaching staff went to work. The players understood the mission, and they have really started to click on all cylinders. And now it's, you know, it's amazingly one of the most dangerous teams in the SEC.
They really are. And I'm loving it, man. I'll be honest with you. I was a little unsure. Like I said, last time we talked, everything kind of going on. I'm like, this is not kind of the team that I thought we were going to be this upcoming year, especially, you know, Justin LeBron and how talented he is. I mean, one of the best prospects I think we've had I want to say ever, but I'm not a historian when it comes to Alabama baseball, but I would imagine he's definitely up there. But yeah, they've been doing some awesome stuff, and hopefully they can continue that along with softball, because I'm excited, man. I mean, if we continue on this trend, we're talking about some really good postseason runs upcoming for these teams. We got to be where our feet are, like you said. We definitely got some good series coming up, so we'll definitely
you get to come and enjoy the. Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me. Go ahead, Christian.
No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I love that Coach Vaughn brought up that, you know, now that basketball is over, you got the two phenomenal shows in town to watch. You don't have to pick one. You can do both. You check the schedule. There are ways to go to baseball and softball. And I think both of these teams deserve that support because this is as strong an overall spring on the diamonds in both sports as I can remember.
Oh, yeah. Well, and to your point, I even saw a quick little clip that I think maybe UA Athletics, somebody posted on Instagram, but they had asked a number of other SEC teams and their players kind of the toughest places to play. And everybody, it seemed like, was saying Rhodes Stadium. So, you know, shout out to everybody that's been attending the games and been helping that environment be what it is. I know football got to go out there maybe last week, something like that, for one of those games. And maybe that's why Ryan was out there as well. I know as a team, they go out there and support. But, yeah, like you said, if they ever have any more of these, not if they ever, when they have these series coming up, it sounds like they're on the road at Auburn this weekend, correct? But they'll be back soon, I'm imagining.
Oh, yeah. Next weekend is alumni weekend. So it's the 30th anniversary of Alabama softball, and there are hundreds of alumni coming in. It'll be a big old party. And obviously with the Morgan Wallen concert, there's already a lot of buzz in Tuscaloosa. So it's going to be a packed house. If you have a chance to come next weekend, I would recommend everybody to show up to Rhodes.
Love it, man. Love it. We'll definitely keep pushing. And we'll have to get Coach Murphy on here, too, to talk about all the great stuff that they're doing. Man, Gray, I appreciate you jumping on here and filling us in, giving your thoughts on the Alabama football quarterback battle. But, of course, always getting all of your great insight on baseball and softball. Of course, you know way more about those than I do. So I love letting you break it down for us. You do a great job. And hope you have a great call this weekend and everything you got going. And look forward to talking with you soon here on the show, brother.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Christian.
Absolutely, man. Thank you, brother. Our guy, Gray Robertson of the Crimson Tide Sports Network and SEC Network, who joins us here regularly on the show. Also, co-host, I'm his co-host, I should say. Gray hosts it, right, over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network for the Alabama football postgame show that we enjoy doing. So really good stuff there. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. If you guys want to get on this conversation, we were talking about the whole Earl Little Jr. thing with his comments, man. I know we got a bunch of comments in the chat, but if you guys want to jump on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. Plus, we'll start reading some of these chats and we'll keep the conversation going right here on the Miller's Edge.
Jewelers, a Tuscaloosa original since 1904. A shop that has stood the test of time with jewelry made to stand the test of time. FincherandOsment.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149.
For you, we've upped our protection program. 12-month, 12,000-mile factory-type protection. Townsend Honda. Skyland Boulevard in Tuscaloosa.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
wherever I go.
Quality gummy vitamins from Nature Made, the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand, based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice afternoon, mostly sunny with a high of 77. Fair weather tonight, the low 52. The weather turns warmer tomorrow and Saturday. A good supply of sunshine both days. The high tomorrow, 81. The high Saturday, 84. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From Tuscaloosa to the world, download the free Tide 100.9 app.
for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Big thanks to Gray Robertson, who just joined us via the phone lines, giving us the latest with softball, baseball, and of course, giving us his thoughts on the Alabama quarterback battle, which I know a lot of people are fired up for Saturday, of course, to see the team, but let's just call a spade, guys. Everybody wants to see these quarterbacks and see kind of the updates with the battle, and I get it, man. That's always really exciting, but there's plenty of more storylines to pay attention to. I know Brandon mentioned the offensive line, heck, even the running backs. I love defense, man. I'm really fired up to see that defense get to work this Saturday. So let me know what you guys are excited most about this Saturday when it comes to A-Day. Who, I guess maybe what player or position group do you really look forward to the most seeing this Saturday? If you guys are able to attend A-Day, let me know in the chat. 205-342-9904. Is the number to the program. Let's go to the phone lines. You got Super Joe up next. Super Joe, welcome in.
What's going on, Pop? How you feeling, man?
There he is. What's up, my guy?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, man. Everybody talking about the A-Day coming up, and I say, you know, I'm probably going to have to hear about it. I ain't getting off my job till like 6 in the morning, so it's going to be kind of tough for me to be running down there at a time like that. But I'll say this, you know, I mean, yeah, but I mean, like, I think it's going to be the best quarterback that's going to get the job. So that's what I'm going to see. And then from what I understand, you know, Chris, we might have a real good defense. I've been hearing that through the grapevine a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll say this. I think the defense definitely has some nice potential. I mean, the toughest part for me, you know, even seeing them is that, you know, until you really go out and see them against another unit, it's hard to come up with a true definitive on what you really have. And I think most coaches would agree with that statement. But from what I've seen, man, I think they've got a lot of potential. There's a lot of intriguing guys that I think could, in fact, step up. And that's going to be important. I mean, we talk about this defense. I mean, the secondary returning, we all know how important that is and key that is. But front seven, right, that's the main emphasis when we talk about this defense. And I think there's been a number of guys stepping up and doing some good stuff this spring. And I think over the course of the next few months, it's going to be even more important that, you know, everybody continues to solidify that. But the good news is when you're hearing a lot of good noise about guys like Caleb Woodson who transferred in or, you know, Devin Tompkins, those guys have replaced some, you know, key pieces, right, whether it was all three linebackers leaving. You know, up front on the defensive line, you lost a lot of players, a lot of production on the front seven. So hearing some of these guys stepping up and emerging so far through spring is definitely very encouraging for a unit that has a lot of potential going into this upcoming season.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because, I mean, and I'm going to think about it. I still say, you know, with all fairness, I still believe Kalen DeBoer is going to be a national championship coach before another year or two. It could be this year. It could be next year, year after next. But you know what? We know college football has changed and stuff, and I'm not going to dare say for the greater, okay? Mm-hmm. But you know, because college football done got very kindred to the pros. You know, it's a money thing and bouncing, you know. But now it's just like I just wish sometimes the old days would just live a little bit again. Let's take away, like, break down this NIL deal and this NIL deal and all this transfer portal, because that's just too much luxury, too much meat on one pizza. That's an overextended meat lover. That's causing a very big cancer to the college program.
I like the way you put that. You're kind of making me hungry, but I ain't going to lie. You know, it's lunchtime. I'm talking about, you know, a bunch of toppings on a pizza, man. I say this all the time. When it comes to my subs, my pizza, whatever it is, I throw the whole garden on there. I want the peppers, the onions, the lettuce, tomato. I want the whole garden. So, man, you're making me crave one of these big old Supreme pizzas, man, with the meat lovers and Supreme together pretty much. I want everything on it. But,
No, you're right. It's definitely
you're the
different.
Second man like that. You're the second man. I know that's right. You're the second man like that. Because, you know, I know one lady. I'm the one lady. She was a little woman. She wasn't no bigger than I would say either. I mean, Lawrence Sissel or Hazard Dennis. But when it came down to pizza, she said she could maul like a crocodile. You know, but and don't pick up no weight. And because I know one time a man said one time a man bought some pizza on the job. And it was like buffalo wings and the buffalo wings stacked and the supervisor act like he had a problem with it . And then what he did was, you know, he turned threw everybody off and whistled. Then like 12 supervisors came in and they said, and then guess what he did? He said, you know what? Since it's Friday, supervisor's going to get the first piece of it. And then trick the whole employee and then everybody, let's eat. And then tricked everybody. And tricked everybody. And said all those supervisors are going to eat first. Now, that was smooth, but it was dirty. But at least I thought that was a little dirty. Supervisor eat first. That was a little dirty, but it was funny.
Yeah, that's a little sneakiness right there.
At the same time, he said, but did nothing go to waste? He said, nothing went to waste because you had folks that came in, because you had folks that came in on a starving stomach. You know, there were people, he said, you had some folks here that ate in a day or two, and believe me, it was like 20 boxes of pizza and all different miles and lemon pepper buffalo wings, but they said after the bitch four left in 3 hours, they said it wasn't a crumb left. And then those bones were just as clean. but I'm gonna say this though. You know, I've been hearing, you know, I was hearing, you know, some things too about something like with the that there was some possible rumor that there was some link. It was small link. Now this came from fans outside the UA. I mean, outside the UA, saying that there was some things about something going on in the USL. Lincoln Riley might be stepping down in about another year or two.
That's an interesting point, man. I'll be honest. I haven't heard that. I wouldn't even know. I don't keep up too much with everything out there, but I looked it up real quick. I don't see anything specific, but that would be interesting. I mean, I feel like he's got a good backing over there. I mean, I feel like the NIL is probably pretty dang good. I mean, I know they just paid a freshman tight end a whole boatload of money. So I don't know. I'm not sure about that, but I will say, I mean, I feel like Southern Cal's probably a pretty decent spot. I mean, the school itself, it ain't in the best part of California, but it seems like he's got a good backing. I think they probably recruit pretty well, and I don't know. He's not like an older guy, so I don't know why that would be the case, but I don't know. We'll have to see, man. But Super Joe, I appreciate you calling, man. Great stuff as always.
I appreciate it, man. Hey, I enjoy your show, Chris. Take care. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for those words. I appreciate that. We got to hit a timeout real quick. When we come back, we keep on rolling. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. We're talking all things, really, I guess everything. But we'll dive back into some more Alabama football talk and get y'all's thoughts. What are you most looking forward to on A-Day? Today was the final practice ahead of A-Day, so we'll talk some more Alabama football on the other side. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9111.
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
And welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's circle back real quick to, you know, we're talking a bunch about the whole Earl Little situation, or not situation. He was asked about Alabama compared to Ohio State. Basically said, everything is a competition here, especially the weight room. We didn't really compete like that in the weight room at Alabama. Personally, I disagree just from what I know, and I'm not talking about my time in the weight room. I was even saying like what they do now based off of what I've seen. But, you know, again, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. However, it kind of brought up some interesting points because there was a lot of discussions, as you would expect, from a lot of fans online after hearing Earl Little's comments. But there is one, Reed, I'm going to get your thoughts on this because this might be a little bit of a – this might ruffle some feathers if we're being completely honest here. But there's some people kind of comparing the two programs after his comments were made because I know we even had a response, I think, and it basically was saying, hey, well, look at the players that Ohio State is pumping out right now. Like, look at the guys that just attended the NFL Combine. You know, look at Sonny Styles and Arvell Reese and – you know, the Caleb Downs, right? I mean, look at these prospects that they have this year. I mean, these guys, like those, just the linebackers alone, they're freaks. They're 6'4", 6'5", 240. I mean, setting records. I mean, they run like deers. I mean, they've got some really, really good football players up there at Ohio State. There's no denying that. But I saw this tweet from Bama perspective on X, and I think they were responding to someone kind of comparing the two programs, right? This was not just about the weight room. This is more so about the programs themselves. And I thought this was an interesting tweet. I'm going to throw it here on the stream screen. That way you guys can see it. Hopefully I can zoom in. That way you can read it as well. It's a lot of information, but it does read. I'm going to skip down, basically saying that if you look at the two seasons under Kalen DeBoer over the past 2 years, so again, they're comparing the past 2 years, right, between Ohio State and Alabama. I want to preface by saying that because I know sometimes when we talk about comparing programs, like in their current status, the problem is people immediately they hear Alabama, especially when I'm talking about Alabama fans, they hear Alabama and they immediately jump to 18 national championships, all the SEC championships, all that good stuff. And like if you're talking about historically, like Alabama's, you know, in a place of its own pretty much at this point. But if you're saying the current status of programs, there is an argument to be had here. So basically, Bama perspective goes on to say that, yes, Ohio State is definitively a better program right now. Does it mean it will be that way forever? No. And so here's some of these comparisons. 2024, right, again, this past 2 years. Final AP Top 25, Ohio State won, Bama 17. Result, Ohio State won the college football playoff, you know, national championship. Bama ended up losing the ReliaQuest Bowl to Michigan. Final record, Ohio State was 14-2. Alabama was 9-4. Recruiting rankings, Alabama finished third. Ohio State fourth. Portal rankings, Bama 21st, Ohio State 24th. First round picks, Ohio State had 4, Alabama had 2. Total draft picks, Ohio State had 14, Alabama had 8. Right. So if you go off of those categories that they mentioned, that would give Ohio State 5 wins. Alabama 2 in 2025. Final top 25 in the AP, Ohio State 5, Bama 9. Result, Ohio State lost by 10 in the quarters as 2 as a 2 seed to the national championship runner up. Bama lost by 35 to the national champion, which was Indiana, same common opponent. Final record, Ohio State was 12-2, Bama 11-4. Recruiting rankings, Alabama 3rd again. Ohio State was 5th. Portal rankings, Ohio State was 5, Bama was 16. First round picks, and this is projected, so this is clearly hasn't happened yet. They gave Ohio State 6 and gave Alabama 1. Could be 2. We'll even go 2 just to boost it up. Say it's Ty Simpson and Caden Proctor. That's still the edge going to Ohio State, top 100 picks. Again, this is just, you know, a prediction. Ohio State 7, Bama 4. Ohio State would also win again in 5 of the categories to Bama's. I'll just give them 2, right? So if you're comparing the two programs over the last 2 years, that was all of the data that, again, Bama perspective views. I just used their tweet here because I thought it was interesting going off of the whole comments from Earl Little, which leads me to my question for you guys. Are you guys ready to say that over the past 2 years, you would be willing to put Ohio State ranked ahead of Alabama in their current status as a program? Reed, I'm going to open the floor, man. I know that's throwing a lot at you, and I know that's probably going to ruffle some feathers.
Christian?
Hey, listen, I mean, here, you want me to answer first? I'll answer first. I'll let you follow up. But I was being kind. I know you didn't spoke a whole bunch today. I'll say this, and it's going to ruffle some feathers, but if you are completely honest with what we have here over the last 2 seasons, again, I'm not talking about total history. we're only talking about the last two seasons. If you're being transparent, Ohio State would be ahead of Alabama in terms of the current state of the program. That's coming from me, and I'm a former player. Now, I'm not trying to get Damian Harris, so you guys don't go, you know, raising pitchforks coming at me, man. I get it. You know, people get frustrated hearing that. However, it's just like Bama Perspective said, that don't mean it's always going to be like that. I don't mean like it's going to be like that this upcoming season or in the future. However, when I saw that, I'm like, man, you know, that is refreshing to hear somebody be able to be completely honest. I think that's being honest and being real. I mean, like, again, from the draft picks to what they've done, they won a national championship just 2 years ago. Last year, I want to say, I guess it was the same. Wasn't it the same? No, it wasn't the same round. It was the next round, right? No, it was the same round because Ohio State lost to Miami, and we lost to Indiana, who went on to win it. But they did play Indiana, right? And that game looked a little bit different than ours. I'm not even leaning too much into that. I'm just going more so off of kind of the two programs. Now, I will say this. Now, there are other factors that you should include, like the schedule. So when you're comparing records, I will say Alabama's got a much tougher path. So that is something that needs to be pointed out. I'm not going to, you know, completely just ignore that fact. However, everything else included, I mean, you talk about the draft production. I mean, just, I think if you're just being honest, you can say that. Just like, I mean, when people used to get mad, and I got it, because the way David Pollack used to be saying that, he was saying like king of college football or I don't know, whatever the comment he was making and saying it in front of Coach Saban, that was one thing, but if we were being transparent, at that point in time, in Georgia coming off of two back-to-back national championships, if you're just being completely honest with you, Georgia was currently ahead of Alabama with the current state of the program. Now, I know some people might not want to hear me talk about this, but again, I'm just a very honest person, and I don't think it's not disrespect. It's just it's an honest reflection that as a program right now, we're a little bit behind Ohio State. Not far, just a little bit behind. It doesn't mean we're not going to get back on top of that, but I just think where things stand, I actually would agree with that. And again, I'm not bringing that up to annoy people or bother them ahead of A-Day. It's just, I thought that was interesting because I don't really see a whole bunch of people that are willing to be that upfront and honest about stuff sometimes. And so I was like, man, let's bring that up on the show and see what our listeners think about it. Because to me, like, listen, I'm the type of person, man, shoot, be straight, right? Good, bad, ugly, just tell me the truth. And so if I'm Alabama and I'm looking at that, which I know they don't care about that. Their goal is to win championships, not to say, oh, how do we rank up to these people necessarily? I would use that personally, like if I was on this staff, to say, look, that we're going to use that as fuel. Not like, oh, it's, you know, disrespect and we need it for motivation, but no, but saying, hey, when we compare these numbers and these figures and we really take a look in the mirror, take a look at our reflection, there's some things that we need to kind of get back to doing, which I think Alabama can do. I mean, they mentioned this as well, like the recruiting rankings, and I think we're doing a good job. We're getting some good players, and there's just some little things we need to clean up and get back to. But yeah, I thought that was a very honest take from Bama Perspective. So now, Reed, that I've answered, I've kind of cleared it for you. You don't have to be so nervous about sharing your opinion, man. Go ahead. Who do you rank ahead right now in terms of current programs? Yeah. Ohio State or Alabama?
Well, yeah, I already had my mind set up. I was just more so curious of, you know, you go ahead and in the case of taking some of the heat. But no, I did have Ohio State because you got to look at, and of course, this is a sample size of only two seasons credit. But I look at it in the aspect of, you know, coaching is everything, right? Ryan Day has been at Ohio State for 9 years, seven of those as the head coach. And so he's kind of established what he knows works. And if I'm being completely honest, like there was a point during that 2024 season where I believe they were trying to run, you know, Ryan Day out of there. And then he went on to win the national championship. And so I think it's been more so of a Ryan Day's been in that system for a lot longer. Now, not that that's an excuse for Alabama. You know, you got to give Ohio State the applause that they've done in these past two seasons. But I think if we get a larger sample size, then I think we can ultimately determine, like, hey, if we 4 or 5, maybe even 6 years down the road, then we're like, okay, you know, that makes a little bit more sense.
For sure. And looks like people in our chat are—they're keeping it real too. They're not too mad, man. I don't see too many pitchforks so far. Well, I guess we'll see how this take ends up going once more people hear it. But listen, I think it's just being honest. And if anything, again, it's a good measurement to say, hey, these are some things we need to kind of get back to. to get back to having that prominence, which I'm not saying that's easy to do. I mean, the landscape of college football makes it tough. Like someone pointed out, it's also hard when you're comparing a program. You just mentioned the consistency of Ryan Day. He's been at Ohio State a lot longer than Kalen DeBoer. He's had time to kind of really get things going. And it's not like he was an outsider coming in. You get what I'm saying? I mean, like, he's got ties there. So a little bit of I get it's apples to oranges. I just saw this tweet in response to, about this whole Earl Little thing, which I knew we were going to talk about. And I was like, maybe we can also kind of discuss that, because they only went the past two seasons, which is fair, which I'm not 100% sure what we went into, like maybe only choosing the past two seasons. Not that there's a problem with it. I just was curious. I didn't know if something, you know, made them only pick two. But what also is interesting is if you do spread it back to maybe 4 or 5 years, I think the conversation gets a little bit more interesting. They still are going to have the edge in terms of that national championship. But I think it might be a little bit closer when you look at it the past 4 or 5 years, and maybe a little bit more of a fair comparison, given that we just talked about the new coach that's only had 2 years, hasn't even had enough time to really get things going. So I don't know, maybe we'll kind of go back a couple more years and then revisit this, and maybe throw in another team or two to kind of see where we think Alabama might stack up. I know we got a couple folks on the phone lines. We'll do that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, Alabama back on the practice field. We'll talk about it. Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. Bruce Marshall, a professional handicapper from Las Vegas, will run through some SEC win totals and a lot more. Coming up starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6.
Hands like you mean it. That grit, that honesty and pride, that's what it means to be a cowboy. Riley Green and Boot Barn, proudly honoring the cowboy way.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-758-2238
or email info@historictuscaloosa.org. Walk through history this April in the heart of Tuscaloosa. Hot! Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Man, we've been having some great conversation just kind of just brewing naturally. It's been really fun. Let's do this. Let's hit the phone lines real quick. 205-342-9904. We got Miguel up first. Miguel, welcome in.
Good afternoon. Good morning, Christian. How you doing?
Good, man. How's everything going with you? Is it your first time calling?
Yes, it is. But I listen to your show every day.
Thank you so much.
I want to piggyback on what you're talking about, the situation with Ohio State last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Their winning season is good because you know, we had a lot of people that hit the portal that went to Ohio State, like a couple of Alabama players, like the safety or the corner that went. Now he's in part in the for the draft now, and they had the quarterback from California that was committed to Alabama, Julian Sain. Now he's a junior, so yeah, Alabama's their team is quite dwindling because of the retirement of Nick Saban. So right. when you have a good coach like Nick Saban, people most of the players who went to him, if they were good, with the being five star recruits. And right now, I don't think Alabama would never win another championship with the way the NIL is right now, on how they're buying players and the teams. You got the colleges with the money, like Ohio State. You got the Texas. You got the Texas A&M. You got the University of Texas with all these billionaires that's buying players. So it's going to be hard for some of the teams in the SEC to compete to get the players that they used to have, like what Nick Saban had 10 years ago. So if you follow the money, you have the players.
That's fair. So I might have missed it, Miguel. Where would you, if you had to compare the two programs, would you give Ohio State the nod, but you're admitting that Alabama's got a little bit more of
I give Ohio State the nod. Alabama is second right now.
I threw this out here during the break, man. Georgia. Let's throw Georgia in the equation now. So again, same conference now.
Georgia's a little bit above Alabama because of Kirby. Kirby has Nick Saban's
kind of DNA.
He's a disciple of Nick Saban, so he's going to have Nick Saban's philosophy in playing football.
And we can expand on that tomorrow, because I thought that one's interesting, and I'll say this real quick, and I appreciate you calling, Miguel. Yeah, I mean, you look at the two, man.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
You got the Ohio State, you got the Georgias, you got the Texas, even you got the A&Ms, because they got the money.
That's true.
Alabama's going to fall because of the money. The people that are alumnus, they need to give money to the program, just like people give money to the programs in Texas.
Yeah, we definitely need to keep on digging those pockets as much as possible to keep up. Miguel, I appreciate you calling, man. Great stuff, and I appreciate you calling for the first time and listening, and hopefully we can talk soon.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Real quick, I got to remind you about our friends over at Lamprello Law. Again, Adam will join us tomorrow. We'll discuss the latest when it comes to all the cases and everything going on. Lamprello Law, education advocacy, founded by Adam, attorney and professor. They got you guys covered for academic and career success, whether it's mentoring, test taking, preparation, subject matter mastery, personal statements, resumes, and so much more. They've got you covered. And of course, anything legal-wise when it comes to representation, First Amendment cases, NIL, all criminal defense matters, relentless advocacy, passion, genuine care, they got you covered. And of course, it is affordable. So check them out, 201-317-5115. Again, that's Adam at lamprello-law.com for the email. Lamprello Law, the official representation of us, Christian Miller on the Miller's Edge. We got to get out of here, and we'll be back tomorrow for a free-for-all Friday right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.